A few months after my 21st birthday, a stranger called to give me the news. I was living in New York at the time, on 94th between 2nd and 1st, part of that unnamed shifting border between East Harlem and the rest of Manhattan. It was an uninviting block, treeless and barren, lined with soot-covered walk-ups that cast heavy shadows for most of the day. The apartment was small, with slanting floors and irregular heat, and a buzzer downstairs that didn't work, so that visitors had to call ahead from a payphone at the corner gas station, where a black Doberman, the size of a wolf, paced through the night in vigilant patrol, its jaws clamped around an empty beer bottle. None of this concerned me much, for I didn't get many visitors. I was impatient in those days, busy with work and unrealized plans, and prone to see other people as unnecessary distractions. It wasn't that I didn't appreciate company exactly. I enjoyed exchanging Spanish pleasantries with my mostly Puerto Rican neighbors, and on my way back from classes, I'd usually stop to talk to the boys who hung out on the stoop all summer long about the Knicks or the gunshots they'd heard the night before. When the weather was good, my roommate and I might sit out on the fire escape to smoke cigarettes and study the dusk washing blue over the city, or watch white people from the nicer neighborhoods nearby walk their dogs down our block to let the animals shit on our curbs. "Scoop the poop, you bastards," my roommate would shout with impressive rage, and we'd laugh at the faces of both master and beast, grim and unapologetic as they hunkered down to do the deed. I enjoyed such moments, but only in brief. If the talk began to wander, to cross the border into familiarity, I would soon find reason to excuse myself. I had grown too comfortable in my solitude, the safest place I knew. I remember that there was an old man living next door who seemed to share my disposition. He lived alone, a gaunt, stooped figure who wore a heavy black overcoat and a misshapen fedora on those rare occasions when he left his apartment. Once in a while, I'd run into him on his way back from the store, and I'd offer to carry his groceries up the long flight of stairs. He would look at me and shrug, and we would begin our ascent, stopping at each landing so that he could catch his breath. When we finally arrived at his apartment, I'd carefully set the bags down on the floor, and he would offer a courtly nod of acknowledgement before shuffling inside and closing the latch. Not a single word would pass between us, and not once did he ever thank me for my efforts. The old man's silence impressed me. I thought him a kindred spirit. Later, my roommate would find him crumpled up on the third floor landing, his eyes wide open, his limbs stiff and curled up like a baby's. A crowd gathered. A few of the women crossed themselves, and the smaller children whispered with excitement. Eventually, the paramedics arrived to take away the body, and the police let themselves into the old man's apartment. It was neat, almost empty. A chair, a desk. The faded portrait of a woman with heavy eyebrows and a gentle smile set atop the mantelpiece. Somebody opened the refrigerator and found close to $1,000 in small bills rolled up inside wads of old newspaper and carefully arranged behind mayonnaise and pickle jars. The loneliness of the scene affected me, and for the briefest moment I wished that I had learned the old man's name. Then, almost immediately, I regretted my desire, along with its companion grief. I felt as if an understanding had been broken between us, as if, in that barren room, the old man was whispering an untold history, telling me things I preferred not to hear. It must have been a month or so later, on a cold, dreary November morning, the sun faint behind a gauze of clouds, that the other call came. I was in the middle of making myself breakfast, with coffee on the stove and two eggs on the skillet, when my roommate handed me the phone. The line was thick with static. "Betty! Betty, is this you?"
"Yeah, who's this?"
"Yes, Betty, this is your Aunt Jane in Nairobi. Can you hear me?"
I'm sorry, who'd you say you were?"
"Aunt Jane. Listen, Betty, your father is dead. He's killed in a car accident. Hello? Can you hear me? I say your father is dead. Betty, please call your uncle in Boston and tell him. I can't talk now, okay, Betty? I will try to call you again."
That was all. The line cut off, and I sat down on the couch, smelling eggs burn in the kitchen, staring at the cracks in the plaster, trying to measure my loss.